There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome to another episode of Everyone is Hot, the podcast that talks about your favorite stealth sex symbols and their film that turned you on to them. I'm Tommy Lee Jones.
And I'm Shelley Brooks. Man, master impressionist. Oh, you're always
who is an impressionist? I yes, am sorry. Tommy Lee Jones. Sorry, Michael Mr. Stevens Jones. Is on vacation for the entirety of this hour. So he asked me to fill in. Y'all are talking about one of my favorite films, so I just want to let y'all know I'm really excited to hear y'all talk about it. Y'all got a guest, right?
We certainly do. Mr. Jones, I believe that you're familiar with our guest. Could you tell us who we're going to be talking to?
Oh my god, I've seen this man do sketch so often. He is an actor and a writer with the New York City sketch team, Young Douglas, voice of LeBron James, one of my favorite basketball players, and John Morant in Bleacher Report's NBA-centered anime series, Hero Ball, and bassist, I love a man that plays bass, for the band Skeeter DeMilo, Devin Gant, everybody.
Hey! Oh. Hey.
What's going on? Oh my God. We're so excited to have you, Devin.
What's up, kids? How y'all doing?
The kids are big sketch comedy fans. They love bands.
Kids love dance metal. They are into it.
Yo, famously.
Guys, thank you for having me on. Shelley, it's great to meet you. It's great to hang out with you. Sorry I couldn't get here when Mike was available, but Mr. Jones, big fan, man.
I mean, honestly, it's good for me because I was telling Mike earlier, you know, before it turned out that they couldn't come, that I was a bit intimidated that I was going to have two genuine, like, comedians on as a non-comedian. So, I mean, I'm lucky that we've got famously serious and curmudgeonly Tommy Lee Jones working with me instead.
Famed stoic.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I do like having fun. That's a common misconception about me and my work. I love having fun. I wanted to do some goofs and gaffs for the movie that y'all are going to talk about today. But, you know, unfortunately, the director said, you know, keep every line really stoic. Stay very serious.
But you did have fun, man. It's clear that you had a great time. You know, you had a little Elvis moment. You know what I'm saying? You did stunts. You did actual stunts, man. Like, I saw the work. You put in work for it. I don't want to, you know, debunk the whole curmudgeon thing, but I love you, man. I'm a huge fan of yours. Yeah.
Well, wow. Speaking of, Devin, could you tell us
you don't have
what
to say
movie
I love
we're going to be
back.
Talking?
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm glad you understand.
Yeah, I get it.
Those are some
Texas,
powerful words.
Yeah. I'm dropping the bit. It's hard.
Hey, Mike, what's up, bro?
Michael's here. Hey. Oh my God, look at that. It's me.
I just pulled my mask off for those of you who cannot see. I
Mission
came
Impossible
here in a
style.
It always starts like underneath the neck.
Right. You got to get into the collar, then you pop it off. The eyes get like weirdly off placed. Well, welcome back, Michael. And yes. So we've kind of walked around what movie we're going to be talking about. But Devin, tell us, what was your movie that you picked for today, and who is your crush?
The movie I picked was 1997's banger, Men in Black.
Ah,
yes.
What a time.
Huge, huge. It came from a time when movies still had a song associated with it. Yes. You know what I mean? A
theme.
Yo,
I missed that.
Before we started recording, I was just finishing the credits. And like, I forgot that the song was in the movie, and I hear the boom, boom, and I lost my fucking mind. I was like, ooh, I can't wait. Yeah.
I mean, when was the last movie to have that? I think, I mean, we're getting off topic already.
Will Smith.
No, we love a movie song. It's great. I mean, thank you. Thank God for Dimi Adejuibe, who's holding down the fort with his Will Smith credit songs that he does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I got to watch those.
Oh, I got to send you the Moonlight one.
Oh, my God.
It's good stuff.
That's
so
one
we're
going
to be talking about. Ugh. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's one thing that I think about all the time is like Will Smith should definitely get back to having songs in all of his movies. Like, I didn't see Gemini Man.
King Richard?
Yeah, King Richard needed a song. Like,
yes.
Gemini Man needed a song. Collateral Beauty, whatever the fuck that was, needed a song.
God.
Suicide Squad.
Collateral Beauty. I haven't thought of that in a while. Oh,
7 Pounds.
The 7 Pounds.
Track EP.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Was it 10 Pounds?
Pardon?
Woo, haha. Wait, was it a... Was it 10 Pounds or 7 Pounds?
Yeah, 7 Pounds.
Ooh.
Seven pounds.
7 Pounds. Wild Wild West was the last time, or maybe Men in Black 2 was the last time he had a song.
Wild West.
He should have done like an outro song at the Oscars that year. You know, he could have really turned things around, I think.
So I just let him speech. He breaks out slap him in the face.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about the 1997 film Men in Black. And who is your stealth sex symbol in this
My
film?
Stealth sex symbol, who's not really that stealthy, because
not
whenever they're on screen, it's a tonal shift in the movie. It matches the movie. It augments the movie. But this person who I picked is the beautiful Linda Fiorentino playing Dr. Laurel Weaver. Hello. What was that?
That was my
Linda's
smart
calling.
Device.
That was our erection.
Our collective erection.
I saw your desk kind of lift up. It was crazy.
This movie came out when I was 97, so I was 6, and this is around the time when I started. I started to differentiate people from like, all right, this is a person. This is a person on this. Oh, this is a woman. This is okay, this is different. This is
start to get the tingle and the dingle.
I think so, maybe. Because I remember I'd be around like my mom's friends and be like, oh yeah, that's Xenia, that's da da da, that's that. Oh, okay,
yeah. Yo, I was thinking about, oh god, the mom's friend effect is like a very real thing. Like, you see them, they're just some ladies, they're like aunts, and then over time you begin to recognize like, hi, are you you're Miss Michelle. You're Miss Michelle.
Put some respect on their name. Yeah.
Oh, hi, Miss Michelle.
Oh, when a horny little boy does like a little handshake with a grown woman, that is the funniest thing in the world.
Enchanté.
When he really leans into Miss Michelle.
God. Oh, hi, Miss Michelle.
Shelly, did you have an experience like that growing up at all?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, definitely in high school, I had an enormous crush on my friend's dad. And I would be over at his house all the time. And I was like, hi, Mr. Lahiri. It's great to see you again. I don't think I had those like formative, like really little kid moments where like you see like a little bit of like a nip slip at the pool or something.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Ooh, me neither. I would not have survived, I don't think.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I wonder
if it's... Looking back, like they were attractive for sure, but I think there was just something, I don't know, there was an energy about them. And I think to relate that to Linda, look at me being
look at you.
You saw that segue?
Professional.
But, But really, like, there was just kind of like an energy to them that was different. And yeah, with Linda, she, I don't know, there's something about her, you know what I mean? She's funny, she's playing like a person in a position of power, a person who, no matter how many times they try to erase what she's seen, she's always coming back, she's always discovering the truth, like, she's meant for this world. I guess that's kind of how, like, all of the agents get found, like, this person continues to stumble upon what we're concealing. Maybe there's something to them, maybe we should recruit them. Is she the only female agent in this movie?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure they didn't have like female agents until on screen, until like in a significant way, until like the second or third. At least the second.
Cool seeing her like hold her own with the boys, and like something I thought when watching it this time was like, I feel like a lot of the like female stars of blockbusters right now feel so young. Not just female stars, I guess all stars feel like very young right now,
because they're only
like,
casting she's young. Like very young.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like she certainly wasn't old in this movie, but like, true, you watch like these like 80s and 90s movies and like everyone feels like adults.
Yeah.
And it's like very refreshing, because I'm like, I don't want to see fucking Timothée Chalamet, like, I don't know, making out with someone. He looks like he's in high school.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. These people have jobs. These people, like, all right, this person went to college. This person, like, is a pro in their field or whatever. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. Chalamet looks like his, like, dad still helps him with his taxes, you know?
Word. He's still on that parents' insurance 100%. Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that no one listening has, like, not seen Men in Black, but just in case they haven't, Michael, would you like to tell us what Men in Black is about?
Absolutely. A police officer joins a secret organization that polices and monitors extraterrestrial interactions on Earth. And as an adult in 2023, in Joe Biden's America, reading this shit in Eric Adams's New York, this pisses me the fuck off. Oh, man. I do not trust the police officers.
Police in space now?
Just sneaking around.
Wow.
Typical copaganda.
I read
up all the aliens, huh?
I know all you motherfuckers. They're tracking. They were preparing us to have our privacy violated.
Yo.
God, can't even go to space.
I know you said that you kind of like skimmed it, but I think there is a lot of anti-government sentiment in this movie, which is kind of dope, offered by my man who was with us for a second, Tommy Lee Jones. It's really cool. It's worth it. If y'all haven't seen it in a while, listeners, check it out. It's good shit.
It's really good shit. And so we're gonna get into our main discussion in just a moment, but before we do that, we like to play a little game so we can get a little warmed up, slick. And that is called the Sexy Trivia Game. Michael, what is the Sexy Trivia Game?
Oh, it's just a game to get the listeners slick for some chatting. I will kick us off with letter A. Chris O'Donnell was first offered the role of Jay, but he turned it down because he thought it was just another new recruit role, like his performance of Dick Grayson from Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Other castings were David Schwimmer as Jay and Clint Eastwood as Kay. And funnily enough, Will Smith almost turned it down due to similarities to Independence Day. But Jada Pinkett Smith talked some goddamn sense into him. Isn't that something?
Good job, Jada.
Talking some Jada Pinkett sense.
Oh, Jada Pinkett sense.
Devin, you want to give us number B?
Of course. Coming in at number B is... Here I go. Sorry. Sometimes I get around.
Sorry.
It tickles me a little bit, but here we go. Lowell Cunningham's comic, The Men in Black, was much darker and drier than the family-oriented science fiction comedy this film adaptation was. In the comics, the MIB surveyed not only extraterrestrial activity, but paranormal and supernatural activity on Earth as well. They are allowed to maintain secrecy by any means necessary, including elimination. They also had a secret agenda to manipulate and reshape the world in their own image by keeping the supernatural hidden.
Ooh, goodness.
Makes you think. Makes
I'll tell you one
think.
Thing that's not dry. Me. Number C. Linda Fiorentino won her part in Men in Black, 1997, in a poker game from Barry Sonnenfeld. Besides the part, she won around $1,200.
Oh, man.
And that's a sexy trivia game.
Oh, that's all a sexy right. trivia game. Yeah.
$1,200 in 1990 is not bad. That's pretty good.
Not too bad, I will say.
I gotta say, like, until I found out that piece of trivia, I was like, she's like regular, everyday hot, like movie hot. But that specific piece of information, I guess along with the fact that she's retired for the most part, makes her very hot, I think.
What
just any
the
kind
deal
of
deal with Hollywood and poker, because it feels like a lot of people like, so Tobey Maguire famously was the basis of that character in Molly's Game.
Yes.
So he is a poker guy. Mm. Paul Schrader also famously said on Facebook that he got kicked out of his virtual poker game with a bunch of other Hollywood people because he was probably saying some off the wall shit.
Oh, shit.
Like, why are they all playing poker? Did they just have too much money?
I think they have money to throw around.
That also might be a euphemism. Yeah, let's go play poker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be like a Gaga kind of poker face.
do y'all know how to play poker? I always wanted to learn. It looks cool. Seems cool.
I don't know how to play poker, but I feel like if I knew the rules, I'd be okay because I have a good poker face. It's all about having like...
You got
dead eyes.
You got good face, man. You got good face.
That's nice. You got good face.
That's so true.
Thank you.
What a good looking bunch.
I'm just saying, look at us.
We always have the best faces on this show.
We do have great faces. We've got very cool people who come on the show. Earlier this morning, we recorded with Caroline Gollum, and she was like recording from bed, like sucking on a vape, and she looked so cool, and I was like, I look like such a fucking nerd. I have no bra on, I'm wearing a sweatshirt, I haven't washed my hair. Like, I was like, damn, I gotta step it up for the next recording.
Nah, we all look great. This is a audio medium, but we look amazing, guys.
Yeah,
you guys are missing out, listeners.
Have y'all ever considered making it a visual?
Michael has pushed for that. I am too self-conscious, I think.
I didn't do anything.
A little bit. But if we keep having good-looking people like this, we might have to switch to video. Because
we probably should share clips. The thing about it is like, it's just another thing to do that we should do, that I should do specifically. Yep. And that's because Shelly really, not to gas Shelly up, but like Shelly edits these episodes like really well. And so why wouldn't I gas Shelly up?
Yeah, keep it going. Honestly, oh my God.
Like Shelly edits these episodes and like sometimes I'll listen, I'll be like, what I just said was really smart. And I don't say that about myself very often. And I'll listen to something like Shelly edited that really well or found, you know. It's nice.
Yeah, I'm piecing it together bit by bit. Like, something really
different
smart
sentences.
From Michael. Well, speaking of good-looking, interesting people, so Linda Fiorentino, what is your history with her? Was this the first movie you saw her in?
This is one of few movies I've seen her in. I think I've only seen her in this and Dogma.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, she struck a chord 100% when I was a kid, and I've watched this like a million times also. And every time I see her, it's like the first time, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, she's just so cool, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, she vibrates. And I think like that's historically the type of women I'm attracted to. This is women who like it's beyond beauty, it's beyond just like physical whatever,
right.
It's just like there's like an energy, an aura, a vibration about them. And I think for some reason, I mean, that's just a testament to her acting, but also just like who she is as a person. She just seems like that type of person that just stands out, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for an agency that is built around being clandestine, they recruited the most energetically weird person, you know what I mean? There's something dark about her, there's something funny about her, but it's all wrapped in sexy and just like smoothness. You know, she's around the most unsexy place of all time, which is, well, relative to me, I guess, but like, I don't know how y'all feel about dead bodies, but I
pretty
when you go to two more. Yeah, pretty, yeah. I felt good. Pretty good about it.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
There's something there, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be one day. And she's just, I don't know. I mean, she's just, I feel the same way now that I do, or that I did when I first saw her as a kid. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm able to articulate what I'm feeling more, but like as a kid, I was just like, man, what the fuck is this? Who is this person? This is a woman who sound, her voice is deeper than mine. Like,
yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it was, she's great. She's really, she's really, really cool.
Set the scene with like the first like viewing experience, like when you saw this.
I want to say I saw it in theaters, but I only remember the act of putting the tape into the VCR. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I remember that vividly, but I feel like because it was a huge movie and everyone saw it, my folks were like big moviegoers, so we had to have seen it in theaters. But yeah, I just remember having access to the tape and just watching it over and over and over and just rewinding, like, ooh, as soon as like the end credits start, like, let me just rewind it over again and watch this movie again. And it's, yeah, it was this also, I want to say, watching it now as an adult, everyone in this movie is striking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not even the, I mean, especially the humans that are, or the aliens that are masquerading as humans, they all have like very expressive features, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. But everyone, like Rip Torn is in his fucking movie.
Rip fucking,
come
on,
let's love him so much. And also, even the people that are made to look like weird looking, are, there's something attractive about them, I think, in part because like it's exciting to see like a character actor really like leaning into, ooh, a choice. Like Vincent D'Onofrio like, is hot fucking, in this movie.
No, I'm so glad.
Oh God.
He deserved the Oscar. He deserved a nomination. I mean, he really should have. I don't know if that's when people ask me about like physical comedy, he's the first person I think of. You know, him and John Ritter. I mean, we'll get into John Ritter later.
Oh my God, yes.
Oof.
Vincent D'Onofrio, he carries this energy in everything he's done since then. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Even to like the Magnificent Seven, like the choices he makes in this movie is just so dope. And so like,
yes,
he doesn't have to do much. He really didn't have to do anything because the prosthetics around him, that like any, I feel like any other actor would have just leaned into that. But this dude's physicality, like rigor mortis, how do you act rigor mortis? You know what I mean?
The way he walks in this movie is crazy. Like he made such a choice and it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And it's like all the little supporting characters, not little, I mean, they're all like, you know, kind of pretty famous character actors, but like Siobhan Fallon Hogan as the wife, I mean, the faces she makes, and like Tony Shalhoub, I am always horny for Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
But like his eyes going all over the place, like that, the very unglamorous like work that he's doing in it is like so sexy to me.
Yeah. I feel, shouts to Siobhan. I'm glad you mentioned Siobhan too, man. She like, I was watching Holes this week too, and I forgot that she was the mom in that.
Edgar,
your skin is hanging off your bones. What was that, upstate? Were they supposed to be in upstate New York?
I don't know.
Because they got there pretty fast from
right.
Yeah. But
speaking of Holes, Michael, put it on the list. Another movie you gotta do, because that cast is stacked.
Holes. I don't think I've seen
Horny Weaver. Oh, bro.
Michael.
Have you read it?
Holes, and my mom bought me the book, and I was like, I want to read a series of unfortunate events. So, unfortunately, I did not read it. Is this the one with...
We're all about... Yes, yeah, Sigourney Weaver's in it.
Sigourney Weaver's
John
in it. Okay.
Boyd, like, yeah.
I love Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, Rosanna Arquette. Yo, it's a stacked cast.
Oh, God.
I am shocked that you haven't read Holes or seen Holes, because I mean, I think we're all about the same age, and I feel like Holes was like a formative thing for like our generation.
Nah, yeah. I was watching cartoons. I didn't like movies about children, about like live action children. As a youth, I was a self-hating child. And
oh, bro, it's a movie about generational trauma, man. You'll love it. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
It's good shit.
I should check it out. Capital.
Yeah, okay. I think especially in the movie, the children feel kind of like incidental, because like it's like so stacked with like these like famous character actors that you're like, get back to the adults. Come on.
Dulé Hill is in this movie. Patricia Arquette. Earthing
so hot in it.
Rick Fox. Oh. Henry Winkler. What the fuck? Oh my God.
Okay, we're doing Holes. We're doing Holes.
I guess we're doing Holes. And we got to talk Sigourney Weaver sometime, because like,
absolutely.
Like, between Alien and Galaxy Quest, which are my two like Sigourney Weaver touchstones, like, God damn.
I was this close to picking Sam Rockwell as my step.
What Sam Rockwell movie would it have been?
Any of that's the hardest part. That's why I didn't pick it. It would have been either Galaxy Quest or Charlie's Angels or Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Oh my God.
I'll take
yes,
him as fucking
so
George W. Bush. Like, I don't give a shit.
Well, that's interesting. So I, you know, sometimes we have people come on who like only have female crushes, only have male crushes. It's interesting that you were considering both a female and a male crush. So, I mean, have you found that like, I don't know, your movie viewing experience like has maybe like opened up, you know, what you find interesting and like attractive on screen?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I identify as straight, but like for some reason, like the concept of attraction when I'm watching movies, when I'm watching actors, as a person who grew up wanting to become an actor, that has broadened. It's not even just like a physical thing like we're talking about. So yeah, when I was thinking on who to pick, I think I was just like, I feel like I have more to say if I pick someone that vibrates with me energetically and physically. But like with Sam, or I feel like I was gonna pick someone else too, another male actor, but like it's different. It's something that I haven't really articulated yet, to be honest. But y'all get it.
Yeah,
y'all understand.
Yeah. It's important to have
100%.
It's important to have some kind of like objective lens on attraction, regardless of like who you actually explore your attractions with. I first started to recognize this with my dad, the way he would talk about certain actors. Cause like, he'd be like, you know, Brad Pitt, he's a good looking guy, you know? You know, and that's what you want in a movie. You want a good looking guy and a good looking girl, or good looking people, you know? Yeah. I was watching, what's that movie with the cowboys? The one with the cowboys. Oh, not Shawshank Redemption. That's not the cowboy one.
No, Quicksilver or Tombstone?
Nah, it's got what's his name? The guy that died and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Brokeback Mountain.
That is like such a dad way to describe a movie.
Yeah,
the one with the guys and the one who died.
Come on.
I wanted to give you the full vision of how this man discusses cinema. But like when I started to like think it like see my dad be like very comfortable, like talk about like other men. It's just like, or other forms of attractiveness in a way that wasn't just, oh, she is attractive because she is a woman. It's just like, no, you gotta know what's attractive to like be attractive also. Like, you gotta know how do it.
And I think, Devin, to your point about having that sort of like it factor, that sort of like, you know, something that like radiates off these people that like is what makes them good movie stars. I mean, I have brought this up on the podcast before, but famously my parents when I was growing up would talk about like their celebrity hall passes, and my mom's was always Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. And it's like there's just like a little like crackling there, and she was like, I just love that guy because he's kind of ugly handsome. And I was like, that's part of the appeal.
He has a face. He has a president face. You know what I mean? Like, back on, like George Washington and like people don't look like that except for Tommy Lee Jones. Like, I looked, this dude has he's lived a life also. Right? He went to Harvard, was roommates with Al Gore, and played in like one of like one of the biggest college football games ever, Harvard versus Yale. And he became a famous actor after all of that. And still is. It's insane, this dude.
Yeah, oh, now he like just like lives in Texas and makes like little art movies like every couple of years, and then like people try to interview him and he's like, I don't want to talk about that.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
For how hard of an exterior he has, he does have an objectively sweet voice too.
Yeah.
It's very soft. It's a
very kind voice. Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and it's funny, like I love him sort of like paired with like Linda Fiorentino, because like he's got the, you know, tough exterior, the soft voice. She's this like beautiful woman, but she's also got that kind of like forceful, like lower voice. It's very attractive. Kind of like meeting of opposites.
And I don't know if my attraction to women with deep voices came from this movie or not, but I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah.
But who isn't attracted to a woman with a sultry voice? You know what I mean?
Love a contralto. Voice, right? Range.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Shelley, am I right?
Deep. Yep. That's the deep, deep women's voice.
This conversation is taking me back to an era where I was watching like Batman Forever and fucking Casper like on repeat. And there is one woman in Casper.
I was just going to mention her, bro. I was going to bring back to Raging Bull. I was like, who?
Oh my god. And but I'm a cheerleader. Yeah.
Oh god.
I'm blanking on her name, but she's incredible. Oh my god.
I'm pulling her up right now. I gotta know.
Vicky something.
Kathy Moriarty.
Kathy Moriarty.
Oh fucking god. Hell yeah. She is. Her voice.
Chasing ghosts.
Oh god. Like seeing someone like her on screen. And then they replace her with the CGI ghost character, but I'm still attracted.
Yeah.
Pure voice.
That voice is booming. They add a little reverb to it.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Man.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Oh,
God.
So, there Kevin, is a I will God. Say you are someone with like a very good voice. You've got like radio voice, like silver tongue voice. I mean, is that something that like you really hooked into like from a young age of how people sound like beyond just like what they look like?
I think so. I think because like I loved movies and I loved acting as a kid, but I was too afraid to pursue it or too afraid to tell folks that I wanted to pursue it. So my entry to it was mimicry. You know what I mean?
Fuck.
So like,
dude, we had the same childhood. We had the same childhood,
bro. Yeah. Except I saw holes.
And I was embarrassed.
You gotta see holes, bro.
God, I gotta see holes.
It also has Holes also has a dope song associated with it. A dope theme song.
Yeah, digging up the holes.
Let me write this down. I gotta see fucking holes today.
My bad.
No bads.
All good. My entry to just like performance was through my own voice. So I think that might have been what I honed in on. And I really loved impressions growing up, and I loved Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing I lock into much. I don't know if that's why I started to pursue radio in college or whatever. But I think the reason I pursued radio is because like I knew for a fact I had a talent with like voices and characters, and that was a way for me to kind of inch my way into acting and performing, because I was still kind of shaking that fear of failure, fear of putting myself out there, fear of being exposed to myself, if that makes any sense.
Yes, makes perfect fucking sense.
Word. Yeah, man. I feel, where the hell were y'all when I was a kid, man? I need you.
Dude.
Both of you.
I was homeschooled, and answer so me. Like I was so
Michael was at home.
I will fucking tell you. Like I was at home mind my business, shrinking myself, trying not to like draw too much attention. And so like high school was the time I got into drama club and realized like, this is the fucking key, Michael. Like this is the key to you to fucking like explore yourselves, you know? And oh God, I really fucking relate to the mimicry aspect of it. And the question that I have for you is, when you were a kid, were there any movies in your household that were like quotable, that were just, this movie has become how we talk to each other and how we like fuck with each other and stuff like that?
I was an only child until I was 8. So my dad was like the big movie guy. My mom liked movies, but like I think my access to my father was through movies. That's how we communicated.
Right.
And the quotes, we would quote Coming to America and Princess Bride to each other a lot. It's specifically Billy Crystal's moment in Princess Bride. My dad used to, he liked to say, "Get back, witch," all the time whenever I would call him. Like, "Dad, like, get back, witch."
Oh my God, my dad would always say, "Good luck storming the castle."
Yeah. Dads love Princess Bride.
They love it.
They really do. I don't know what texture of humor is that. Is it? I think that's Rob Reiner or Carl Reiner.
I feel like Rob Reiner. I think. Yeah. Rob Reiner. Yeah. Yeah. Carl Reiner is a 2,000-year-old man.
Damn. Whoops. Yeah, I think that something about that mid-80s comedy texture that was seen in like Harry Met Sally, Princess Bride, Coming to America. Something about it is what my pops related to a lot, and through an extension I got there too. So that was probably he would quote that a lot to me, but I think I would always replay. And I'm really glad I'm getting you asked this question because I love giving shine to him as much as possible. David Alan Grier and Jumanji. I love y'all so much, man.
I'm in love with Dag. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's like Peter Falk and David Alan Grier are like why we do this show.
They are our guys. Oh my God.
Who was the first one?
Peter Falk.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Nice. Princess Bride. Boom. There we go. When the cop car got crushed by the sentient vine, like that was on replay in my head. I didn't say it out loud, but I learned how to do it and just would do it to myself. It was, I just do it to myself, you know?
That's how,
and that's how I just grew up. But Mike, good for you for finding like high school is like the hardest time to be truthful with yourself or yourselves, and the fact that you took that step to do that, especially like having been homeschooled as a kid, like to like put yourself out there like that, that's amazing, bro.
Honestly, if I knew more about how other kids were, then I probably wouldn't have done it. But that's where I met the people who watched the same movies that I watched. Because my dad was also like showing me movies, and also a lot of them were movies that were probably like way inappropriate for my age. But because of that, I was like, my sense of humor is, relevant to this group of people and the fucking high school director. You gotta make sure you access those adult minds.
There you go.
Shall it is so funny. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'll remember. You go.
Oh yeah. Well, it's so funny. It's like sometimes like the like family movie things that come up and like, you know, talking in quotes from movies that there are things that like I didn't see until like the past couple of years, but like
really
we quoted them all the time in our family, and I just didn't know where they came from. Like I hadn't seen Beverly Hills Cop until a couple years ago.
I still haven't seen it.
It's really good. And but what's that line about like the banana in the tailpipe? Like
banana in my tailpipe.
My parents would say that all the time, and I never knew what it was from. And then like suddenly a couple years ago, I was like, oh my God, like half of like the things that we said in our household, it was like just like from Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah. And I didn't know it.
Eddie Murphy was huge. Every family has like their connection to Eddie Murphy somehow. He's like the nucleus of every family tree. Because I remember when Nutty Professor came out, that was like the last big blockbuster comedy. I mean, that shit was on cups, it was on the popcorn bag, and everyone was saying Hercules. Everyone like that shit was all
my
over
family
the place.
All the time.
Michelle, I was gonna say, speaking of voices, you're a whole performer, right? Like
I mean, it's been a minute, but
How did you find your way into that? Like, were you always Like, was it something that your folks put you into? Was this something that you found that you can do and just like pursued it on your own, or what's up?
Yeah, I mean, I started kind of young because my like it actually started because my cousin was in like a high school play and they needed like a little kid to be in it, and I did it, and I was like, this is the most fun thing I've ever done, and I'm getting so much attention and all these older people like talking to me. This is amazing. So yeah, I was like a little bit of like a little child actor. Like I would do like musicals in Atlanta, and yeah, I like was apparently supposed to be in a chicken commercial and then they got canceled. But like I was briefly at Dakota Fanning's child agency. So hey. Yeah, nothing came of it, but but yeah, I mean, it started pretty young, and it really was just like that sort of like finding community, you know, getting attention, getting, yeah, that sense of like, I'm sure you guys experienced this as well, like both in, you know, comedy and music, and that, you know, you get like a little kind of family when you do these collaborative creative projects with people. And it, I think that was really, really big for me. And so, Devin, like when was it that you like were able to get past your sort of like insecurity about performing?
I mean, well into adulthood, I'd say. I mean, y'all can't see right now. I'm a taller guy. So like growing up, my folks and like people around me, they wanted to push me towards sports and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And because of that, because I felt kind of forced or expected to perform in sports, I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it growing up. So all I wanted to do was just go home, read comics, play video games, read Harry Potter. But that was kind of like my retreat. What happened?
No.
Literally, like, I cannot believe that you guys have like not hung out before, because like you are like hitting all of the Michael like major points.
I used to carry them books. I used to carry all the books with me, dog. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wild.
That was my sanctuary, man. Like I could in those worlds, I was brave enough to be like, okay, this is who I am. This is who I want to be. Da, 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 da. But my first outlet, the first outlet that I sought out, or the first outlet that I poured myself into, was Vine, honestly. Mm. And that was like a way for me to get like characters out, get writing ideas out, like even just like comedy or whatever. Because in my early 20s, the instinct was still to shrink, was still to kind of like, I didn't really have posters on my wall growing up because I was afraid of letting people know who I was. And this wasn't something that like, my folks are very supportive. They're lovely people.
Yeah.
I think this is just like an insecurity that I put on myself.
Sure.
So now having this outlet, having this medium to put shit out there, I'm like, okay, I can cuss on here, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I didn't really want attention, but I just wanted to pour something out. And I was on Vine for a little bit and I got some positive feedback. I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. This is validation I need to show that I can actually do something.
Yeah. These
things in my head aren't just for me. There are actually people out there. So I had a little community on there that gave me the courage to move to New York. I was working at WWE at the time, and like I was taking like UCB classes, driving back and forth to Stanford. I'm from Connecticut.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's in Stanford, right? Yeah. Like, oh my god, so that's like,
yeah. It was
I pass it on the train when I go visit my aunt and uncle.
Oh, Darianne, shout out to the Metro North. Wait, you're from ATL, right?
Well, I'm from outside of Atlanta. I'm from Flowery Branch, so I'm from small town Georgia. But we were like, you know, close-ish to Atlanta. But I've got family up here, so yeah, I've passed that WWE stadium or like building many times.
Mike, where are you from?
I'm from Bushwick.
Oh, word. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Bridgeport, Connecticut. All right, now we know where we're from. I never really wanted to do live stuff. I always gravitated toward writing, perfecting, rehearsing, and then putting it out and let that thing speak for me. But coming out here, getting into live sketch comedy, that like allowed me to kind of dissolve those fears I had of being vulnerable and being exposed on stage, because there's an energy to it that I'm saying energy too much, but it's real. Like there's an energy to kind of like being bare, but under the guise of a character that you created. You know what I mean? Like, this is me. This is also a combination of me and the energy you're giving me. I'm looking at y'all. You're looking at this manifestation of my mind, and it's still kind of like, I still kind of have to reconcile with that a little bit. Like the instinct that I've built up in my childhood to shrink is getting less and less, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is great. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I found my way through so many different mediums, through radio, through social media, through, you know, meeting like-minded people through this community. Yeah, it's been cool. I'm still finding it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, do you, I don't know, like on this podcast, obviously we talk a lot about, you know, attractiveness, what is attractiveness, like, you know, and that's, you know, especially when it comes to performers. So, I mean, is that something that you find yourself as a performer thinking about, like how you are perceived in terms of attraction?
Rarely when I write, do I write, especially when I write for myself, I don't write attractive people. I try to write some, because I, it's so hard to be like, oh, this is attractive, because it's not to someone, you know what I mean? Right. I don't want to be the person dictating what's attractive. I don't want to push that up my agenda on anyone. I just want to push a situation. But I think all of my characters are weird and passionate, and I think passion is attractive. So like that more often than not resonates with people than anything physical. So maybe that's what I'm attracted to. I'm finding that out right now. Maybe that's what I'm infusing all of these, something like, I don't know, the characters that I do, the characters that I gravitate to, like David Alan Greer, even if he's playing like a small role on like a cameo on Martin or something like that,
right?
You know, he's gonna be that's one of my favorite Martin clips ever, because it's him. You know what I mean? He can sing, he can dance, he can act, he can be serious. I want to see him do more serious roles. He's been killing. I want to see him live.
I saw him live, and it was one of the highlights of my life.
What production was it?
In that Porky and Bess revival from a few years ago, where he played Sport Life.
Holy shit.
It was fucking incredible.
I saw that.
Oh my God. I was like, yeah, I was like having the vapors. I was like,
the vapors.
he was fucking amazing. Like that's when I truly like fell in love with Dag. I was like, oh, this is my guy.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
Dougie, yeah. Okay, Zaddy, Dougie. Yeah, I mean, so Michael, I mean, I guess same question to you. I mean, like, you're both like in the comedy world, where like I feel like attractiveness is not so like. I'm going to rephrase that. Instead, it's not that like you have to be like the best looking person in the world, but like people are often very horny for comedians because like they do have that like charisma and that like, you know, special sauce or whatever. I mean, have you found that to be the case, like as you're like performing throughout the city?
I would say these days are very different from the old days. And the old days, I was like, man, this is the time of my life. I love this shit. I loved that kind of attention. But over time, as I've become more mature, I'm starting to feel more... I'm trying to put that out of my brain, because I kind of want to be... I want to be more characters that remind people of like their uncle or their dad, or like angry next door neighbor.
You are really like putting yourself in like a middle aged category. It's like, just the characters before that, your time.
They just feel more fun to me. I like That's for real. A long time. Pardon?
No, I was going to say that when we were doing our sexy voice for the trivia, like your voice was like, I know this man from somewhere. Yeah.
That's a hot uncle.
That's a hot uncle. Whose uncle? It's
somebody's. Yeah. Hey there, little pimp. Yeah.
Hey, little man. What's going on, young squire?
Yeah, it's Oba Baba Tunde in That Thing You Do. Yeah. Like that kind of a character.
It's not lost on me that like the sexy voice that you often do for our sexy trivia game is usually pretty close to your dad voice.
My dad is the guy that showed me how a man ought to be. And that is what I've developed, is like, oh, that's what a man ought to be. And anybody who falls below that ideal, I'm like, you're a piece of shit. you're not a piece of shit, but like you got some development.
You're not my dad.
You don't remind me anything of my dad. None of my bosses, none of the people I work with, they don't remind me anything of my dad. That's their problem. Maybe I'll put that in a performance review. You don't remind me anything. You want me to listen to you? You gotta start reminding me of my dad. All right.
Yeah. You haven't talked RoboCop once.
We haven't talked RoboCop once, dog.
You didn't show me Reservoir Dogs.
You didn't show me Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, that's dope. Nice.
Yeah, cool. At an unusually young age, I think Michael saw Reservoir Dogs.
Damn.
Yeah, I was not all right.
But so, speaking of other movies, what are some things we would like to pair with Men in Black? If we were to do like a double feature or recommend something to someone who loved Men in Black, what would we pair with it? Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I always have this question listed in our outline, and I sometimes don't even
think about it every time.
I forget about it every time. Sometimes it makes sense. There's an easy movie to pair with this one. But based on the things that we're talking about today, okay, Batman Forever is the movie I'm going to pair with this. I want to have...
Love it.
It's either Batman Forever or The Addams Family. Those movies are fucking fun.
Raul.
And Raul. And
we have talked about before on this podcast.
Yes, ooh, another maybe. Barry Sonnenfeld movie also. With a hot, you know, woman who has proximity to dead bodies. But I wanted to say Batman Forever because, Devin, you had posted an opinion that I agreed with hardcore. And I think it fits in a genre of movies that I was, like, horny about before I knew what... horny was like the Batman Forever movies are horny in a way that is different from Batman Returns, which is also another like late 80s kind of horny vibe. This 90s Batman Forever was had kind of, I mean they really put it in your face. You see their butts, you see the suits. Like the Joel Schumacher Batman world, both of those movies I would pair with.
It's full camp, yeah, man.
It's camp. It's just a fun fucking time.
Yeah. The fight scene where Chris O'Donnell's Dick Grayson is fighting like the biker gang and it's all fluorescent. It's incredible. And Tommy Lee Jones in that movie.
Is he's
insane.
Having the, he's crazy. He's having
the
time
happiest
of his life.
I've ever seen him. The happiest movie. I honestly.
Man is having fun.
He's also in this Steven Seagal movie called Under Siege, where he's just there we go. Manic, we need more manic Tommy Lee Jones, man. He's so fucking good, and he looks good in that movie too. He's got the leather jacket, he's got the headband. He looks like a badass. It's dope.
What is the quote from Tommy Lee Jones about Jim Carrey, where he apparently said on set something like, "Young man, I don't know why you're acting like a fool."
I don't care for your tomfoolery or something like that. Something verbose and poetic.
So good. That's incredible.
I would pair.
I think I found it. I think I found it. No, keep going. I did not find it.
I would say Jumanji. I would pair Jumanji with
Men in
Black.
That's a good one.
I feel like there's equal parts. Adult aspects to it. There's equal parts horror to it. There's some moments for the kids, moments for, you know, new crushes to be or old crushes to be found. Shouts to Kirsten Dunst. Shouts to whoever played the aunt in that movie too. She was beautiful.
Was that Bonnie Hunt? Was that Bonnie Hunt?
She was Robin Williams' love interest in the movie. I forgot her name.
That's right.
But the aunt,
Bonnie Hunt.
She had dark hair. She was paired with David Alan Grier. She was
Kill me. Yeah. Was it B.B. Newworth?
I don't know. She played Meg. She was the voice of Meg in the Hercules animated movie.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes.
Damn, what was her name?
God damn it. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going.
No, but it's so good. Oh my god. Yeah, that cast is also full of just like so many hotties. Like it's crazy. Like I pulled up the IMDb just now and like I forgot like half the people that were in this movie, like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Patricia Clarkson, like, I...
Oh, my God.
In this one or Jumanji?
In Jumanji. Yeah. Oh.
It was Bebe Neuwirth. You're right, Shelley.
Oh, my God. Bebe Neuwirth.
Yeah.
Meg in Hercules, her voice. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Frasier's ex-wife.
God. Oh, my God. She has
really?
So much confidence.
Yeah. Wait, in the show, not in
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Bebe Neuwirth did not marry a Republican. Come on.
I've never seen Frasier, but it's having a new... People love it. I
love some Frasier. I will say a few years ago, I was like, I needed some comfort viewing, and Frasier was right there for me. So, hey.
Were you a Cheers person also?
I started to get into Cheers pretty recently, but yeah.
Cheers
but Frasier, I've
time.
Seen like every episode. Oh, yeah. Love it. Love it. Anyway, for my pairing, okay, I'm going to do... I had two that I was trying to decide between. So one of them is a bit of a long walk, but it is the only connection is that I find it very funny that the actor named Rip Torn is in Men in Black. And I would pair Men in Black with Dr. Strangelove because I think it's also very funny that there's an actor called Slim Pickens. So I love actors with goofy names. Yeah. So that's the connection there. But I think
Bebe
for
Neuwirth.
A more... Bebe Neuwirth, come on. But for maybe a more appropriate pairing, I would say Men in Black and The Fugitive. You know, get Tommy
Ooh.
Lee Jones in there.
Yeah.
He's having fun in both of those. He's smiling sometimes. He's cracking jokes. So that would be my God. Tommy double bill.
I got to watch The Fugitive. I'm embarrassed I haven't seen it.
I would love, if I could choose who my genie would be.
Would I be love Tommy this Lee question. Jones. Oh,
wow,
my God.
That is such an insult to Will Smith. I will say we've talked about this for almost an hour, and we've like not even brought up Will Smith like for more than like 2 minutes.
Okay, holy shit!
I wasn't attracted to him in the movie. I'm sorry, he didn't do it. In the
movie. Oh my
I mean,
God!
Listen, but he's a fucking star in this movie. Like,
oh
let's
yeah,
be real.
Banger.
Oh yeah, he's good. Ooh. God, all right, I just got to go back for a second. I love your thing about the genie, like the genie that you would pick, because I have been thinking about this on loop. For the past 3 weeks, because I'm writing a pilot about genies. And I was thinking, like, who would I want to be my genie? And Michael Keaton is probably the one that
oh,
I would probably want.
Oh, nice, bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
you
good.
Know.
Are we,
love that.
Like, what, like, Michael Keaton as himself, or just, like...
Michael Keaton as himself, like a guy who just eats, you know, salads and bags of nuts, and is pretty healthy and wants me to do my best, you know?
Yeah. I love it. Beetlejuice was kind of a genie.
Yeah.
He was, he was like kind of like a mean genie. But I guess genies are like by nature kind of mean, right? You know?
Yeah.
They can be.
Yeah,
they're always trying to trick you. Yeah.
They can
wordplay.
Be.
Wordplay.
Yeah. Was it Idris Elba who played the genie in that George Miller movie? Was that
really
it? I didn't
see
it.
I did see it.
Oh,
okay. All right.
I did see it. Uh-huh. It's fun.
It.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Wow. You watch it
see,
once.
That's, yeah.
You said fun in italics, man.
Yeah.
Like,
it's fun. I'm glad.
A tilt of the head when you said fun.
Here's the thing. It probably wasn't for me, but I'm glad they gave him, he had however much money to produce this like fantasy movie. Like it feels like something that the kind of thing that doesn't get made because most things have to be like some big ass other franchise or some shit like that. But this was a one and done fantasy romantic comedy. It works. So.
All right.
And it seems like a good thing for Idris Elba because he is like a fascinating conundrum of an actor in that he is like one of the most handsome men I've ever seen, but he's also so fucking goofy. So like it feels right that he'd be playing like a genie in a campy movie.
Yeah, you don't see black actors, attractive black actors being goofy ever.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Him being in fucking Cats. Well,
he's
just speaking of attractive black actors being in Cats, Michael.
I mean,
I didn't see Cats. What's up?
Cats is a good time.
Mike, Michael famously was in a community theater production of Cats as McGavity.
Really?
Yeah. As the Rum Tum Tugger. Hold on, we can't
Rum-tum
switch
Tugger.
The characters.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's just I want people to search the right things when
How
they do the search.
How dare you?
No, that was I gave years of my months of my life to that show, to that production.
And we have photographic evidence. Yep. Listeners, go to our Instagram because you will see Michael in full Cats regalia.
That was 17. That was the peak of my sexual awakening in that summer.
Wow.
It was fucking wild.
I'm so jealous. I really wish
you could have been Monk
the
Strap.
Cats parties, man.
It was a fun time. He's another cat, man.
All right, cool. I'm with it. Say no more.
Yeah, dog.
I just wish I got to experience the cast dynamics and the cast parties. You know,
dog.
I mean? Like that was
just sloppy. A bunch of virgins sitting around.
That's it's not a, what I heard.
Not in college, but in high school.
Oh man, I heard. Okay, I heard.
Maybe you had a hornier school than I had.
I know, being in the comedy world, especially out here, there's a huge musical theater background, and as a person who wasn't in it, I'm hearing all these stories about high school. I'm like, God, y'all are getting down.
Yeah,
and
people were getting down.
Fuck. Okay.
Oh, my God. Sorry. That's amazing. Yeah, I was just smoking weed and watching Bergman movies, so I was not exactly getting down. Well, Michael, down. I think we've got a little quiz, do we not?
We do a little game. A little game. For now, the placeholder title for this game will be Blockbuster Price is Right. So I've put together some questions, and some I'm just going to make up. But I went to a website and pulled... the domestic, international, and worldwide box office numbers for six main actors in the cast. So that's Will Smith, Vincent D'Onofrio, Tony Shalhoub, Tommy Lee Jones, Rip Torn, and Linda Fiorentino.
Okay.
And so I'm going to ask you a series of questions based on these. If you have the answer, just go, woo! And I will hear your answer. Are we ready to play the game?
Yes.
So ready.
All right. Of the six actors that I named, who was paid the most? And can you guess the number? That's a little extra cherry on the sundae. Yes, Devin.
This is Devin. First time, long time. I'm going to say, I think Tommy Lee Jones was top billed, so I'm going to guess $5 million TLJ. Final answer.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1997.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to say it was Will. I think it was Will, and I think it was... $4 million.
Okay, so Shelley, you are closer to the number that your selected actor made, but Devin, Tommy Lee Jones made $7 million for this.
Hey,
to Will Smith's what? $5 million. So
whoa,
Price is Right rules.
Price is Right rules. cool. I'm gonna give it to Devin. I'm just making up my own rules as we go along. I'm gonna give
it's
it to
only
Devin.
Fair. Yes.
For yeah, that's Shelley and I. When we come up with these games, we are ruthless to each other. Shelley,
no, don't switch it up just because I'm here. Let's go.
No. This is the way it goes.
Our games are lawless lands.
I'm listening.
So it's time for question number two. Ooh. Okay, the answer to this question is going to be a fun one. All right, I want you to name all six actors in the order of which made, from who made the most money to who made the least money.
Okay.
Box office gross we're talking.
Wait, how do we buzz in again?
You woo. Go, woo!
Oh, okay, woo!
Okay, so I'll name the actors again.
Okay.
Will Smith, Vincent D'Onofrio, Tommy Lee Jones, Linda Fiorentino, Tony Shalhoub.
Okay, I'm going to say Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones, Rip Torn, Vincent D'Onofrio, Linda Fiorentino.
I'm going to say the same, but I'm going to switch Tommy Lee and Will. So Tommy Lee, Will, Rip, Vincent, Linda, Tony Bononi.
Yeah. Tony Bononi.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Tony
Bononi. Tony don't know me.
Tony don't know Tony me like that.
I'm gonna give it to Shelley because you started with Will Smith and it, but the correct answer is Will Smith. He made $9.6 billion. Then it's Vincent D'Onofrio, $3.6 billion.
No.
Then I had Tony.
Way.
Then I have Tony Shalhoub. Yeah.
Oh.
Then I have Tony Shalhoub. Yeah.
It's their. Oh, not. Oh, you mean like their filmographies, oh, box office?
Yeah.
I
said Rip Torn.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. Rip Torn, number one, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
it was a fucked up
Avatar.
It was a fucked up question that I was making up on the spot. Nah, so you're good.
That was a good question.
It was good.
No, I'm doing this in an Excel sheet. So that's why I'm like, these numbers are so exciting. I feel like John Nash in A Beautiful Mind right now. But
Michael,
it's Will Smith.
Excel sheet.
it's Vincent D'Onofrio and Tony Shalhoub, who are both tied at $3.6 billion. Then Tommy Lee Jones, $5.8 billion. Rip Torn, $2.2 billion, and Linda Fiorentino, $700 million. But only a couple of those, they're like leads or supporting actors in. So it's just thinking of their entire filmography.
Oh, and you know that D'Onofrio's got all that Law and Order money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that sweet, sweet Law and Order money.
He's got that The Cell money.
Yeah.
Shout out to The Cell. I love that movie. Wow.
Oh, the best.
Wow. Damn. Shouts to Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Listen. $9 billion,
you said?
So $3.6 billion. But now I'm looking at this sheet now, and I'm seeing that Tony Shalhoub's filmography and Vincent D'Onofrio's are exactly the same, which means I made a mistake, and my sheet is now conflating Vincent D'Onofrio and Tony Shalhoub's filmographies together. So we have to return to this at a later episode to figure out who is the heaviest hitter. Is it Tony Shalhoub or is it Vincent D'Onofrio? So for the remainder
of the integrity of this quiz,
this game is good. This game is good. I'm just going to omit Tony Shalhoub from this since I do not have his filmography in my sheet. But all of the rest of the questions are structurally sound. So of the five actors that I am legally allowed to talk about, which of the
five? I love
five...
a game show where the host is more pressed than the players. That's good.
The host like sweating, like holding the brow.
Yeah. Are there vowels up there? I don't fucking know. Hold on. Let me go see.
I don't know. Words are hard. Okay. I was just Googling dyscalculia the other day, which is a thing I might have. I work with numbers all day.
Dyscalculia.
It's like dyslexia, but for numbers.
Oh.
So if you're ever thinking like, why do I hate math? You might got that.
I was a math major.
Then I
gave it up.
Fuck!
I got my first F in freshman year, and I was like, yeah, maybe math isn't for me. And thank God I did, because I found my way into the arts.
Good. Wait, so are you good at math or are you not good at math? Or do you just get an F?
I'm good at math. I was really good at math in like high school and like college, but like I gave it up. But mental math is my thing. I think I'm bad at like if you ask me to solve like calculus or some shit right now, like I wouldn't be able to do it. I've given it up. I've retired. Okay.
Yeah, I have a master's degree and I can barely count. So
wow. In math?
Math is long in my past.
Yeah. We gave
also
it
discalculate. That sounds like an Italian person asking for a calculator.
Discalcula. Hey.
You see that discalcula over there?
Blue hey, you pay 20%. 20% is what I pay. I use discalcula.
Hey, mamma mia.
Okay, I have two more questions. So the last one I am going to give to Shelly still. Yep, all right.
For sure.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Just, so I want you to think I'm a good host. Okay. So
he's a good guy.
One of the six or the five actors that I'm legally allowed to discuss, who has done the most movies? So Will Smith, Vincent D'Onofrio,
Rip Torn.
Yes. Rip Torn.
Definitely Rip Torn. Because he's old and they used to make so many movies back then in the day.
Nice.
Devin, what do you got to say?
I'm going to say... I think Shelly got it. But just to play the game, I'm gonna say Vincent D'Onofrio, Babysitter's Club. Pizza.
He was my second.
Okay. So Vincent D'Onofrio. So all right. Linda Fiorentino has done 15. Rip Torn has done 53. Tommy Lee Jones has done 56. Will Smith has done... It's just pulling the count of the titles. Has done 30. Will Smith has done 34. Wow. And Vincent D'Onofrio has done 59.
Oh!
Oh, my God. Hey,
what about Tony?
Yeah, what about Tony?
Tony is incorrect because it's pulling from Vincent D'Onofrio's filmography. So I have to omit Tony Shalhoub, and that will remain a mystery until we actually figure out the mystery of who has made more films. Like, what is going on in Tony Shalhoub's filmography? I don't even know. I don't have I didn't pull the data. So I don't know who the fuck that guy is.
The man was busy. He was doing Monk. He was doing Monk Broadway, you know? He was busy.
Mm. All right. Shouts to Vincent. Okay. Damn. Shouts to Rip Torn.
Yeah,
Rip Torn has a selective career. Selective.
And busy Vincent D'Onofrio.
you said Rip was 30 something?
No. So Will Smith did 34. Okay. Rip Torn did 53.
Gotcha. Damn. Okay.
That's a lot of movies.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Now. I'm doing a formula right now. So I'm going
as
to walk you through
speak.
As we speak. So I'm filtering out all of the actors and I'm going to go Will
Michael's
Smith.
Michael's writing on a giant blackboard, you know, just like putting in numbers, erasing numbers.
He's disheveled, so you know it's not going to be good. This is going to be a good formula.
He keeps running his hand across his head and he's wearing a
tweed
jacket.
I'm in the pivot table.
He keeps saying the way of the future for some reason.
He won't stop washing his hands.
Okay. Actor, clear, and then Will Smith, and then, all right. Now we are going to filter by the domestic box office numbers. Okay. Yes, we've got them all.
Shelly.
Okay.
When you guys play games, what games do you normally play? Like, is it like
Marry, Fuck, Kill?
War games? Is it... Oh, I was giving you space, bro. I didn't want to just... I was trying to help you out.
I got it.
But it is true. We do a lot of Marry, Fuck, Kill.
We do a lot of Marry,
Kill. You always say Marry, Fuck, Kill. I say Fuck, Marry, Kill. Devin, what order do you go in?
Ooh, damn. You've infected my mind now. Now I don't know. It's like when people ask you, like, how do you spell woe? Is it W-O-A-H or W-H-O-A?
I didn't.
Damn. It's like when you like think too hard about like the process of breathing, and you're like, wait, huh? Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Do you guys know that when you breathe, you breathe backwards? I think I say fuck, marry, kill. Yeah,
thank
fuck, marry,
you.
Kill.
It's FMK. Come on, Michael. Yeah.
I say marry, fuck, kill, and that's just where my priorities are.
Because you believe in the sanctity of marriage.
I believe it's just practical. It's hard. Because
you can't fuck until after you've married.
You can't fuck until.
And you can't kill until after you fucked.
Yeah.
It's got to be real.
Marry, fuck, kill. Damn, I really do say that.
I don't kill anybody, normal, okay?
Kill.
Human progression. You get married, then you fuck them, then you kill them. Come on.
That's how my papa did it. And his father before him. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
I have one final question, and this is, I'm going to name Will Smith's top grossing films, and I'm going to need you to name the one that made the most in domestic box office. So Americans paid to see this. They went fucking ham for this movie.
Okay, so, I already know it.
Oh, God. Independence Day. I Am Legend. Suicide Squad, aka Suicide Squad. Aladdin. Men in Black, the first one.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes, Devin. Woo! Oh, wait, there we go.
You got a double woo, a triple woo, actually.
My fault. Oh yeah, that's what it should have been. Woo, ha ha, my fault. I'm gonna say Independence Day. Americans, you know, propaganda, you know. Mm-hmm. ID4.
Okay,
it's all there.
Independence. Okay.
I'm gonna do a woo. A woo.
Okay.
Sorry.
Woo, ha ha.
Woo.
Yeah, well, that's actually very good. That was actually really good. That was really good, Shelly.
Thank you.
You've done what no white woman should ever do again. That was an amazing micro impression. Wow. That was amazing.
Thank you. Oh my, from the impression master themselves. Ugh. Okay, I'm going to say, unfortunately, I think it's Aladdin.
Wow. Okay.
What could it be?
I don't like it, but
listeners at home, Disney, you can buzz in. Send me a text. Let me know what you think.
Text woo to 4321.
So the answer to this one, Independence Day made $306 million domestically, and Aladdin made $355 million. So Aladdin, Aladdin won.
Damn. Okay, Guy Ritchie. Damn, good for him.
So look, the game ends in a tie, which doesn't really happen.
No.
Shelly
won.
Very often.
It's beautiful. No, listen, we all win, right?
Wait, was it a tie? Were there four questions?
It's a tie.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, this is why we often do odd numbers of questions.
Yeah. No, I can do another one. All right. I got another one. Tommy Lee Jones. Right. Same question. Tommy Lee Jones. Men in Black. Men in Black 2. Batman Forever, The Fugitive, Lincoln.
He was in Lincoln.
Yeah, he was good in Lincoln. Oof.
Now, people went ham for this movie.
Ooh. Name them again?
Men in Black, Men in Black 2, Batman Forever, The Fugitive, Lincoln.
Woo!
Yes,
I'm
going to
say Men in Black 2.
Very good.
I'm going to agree, but then we'll be tied again. So I'm going to say, I'm going to say Men in Black 1.
The correct answer. So Men in Black 2 made $190 million. Men in Black made $250
million. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. without the IP people? Established. Come on.
Yeah, man.
This shit is like, this is the most soulless aspect of movies is the number crunching, but it also excites me the most. Just knowing, like, holy shit, that was his biggest fucking movie.
Yeah.
But Will Smith, I mean, they can't stop his movies from making money.
Seriously. Yeah. And I am so disappointed right now that I don't have on our little soundboard the clip of Christopher Walken in King of New York going, you know I love money.
Do y'all have a soundboard?
We got a little sound. We've got this.
They call me Drinkenstein. We gotta bring Drinkenstein back sometime.
We gotta bring Drinkenstein back, and we've got...
I'm not masturbating!
So we got some classics.
Oh my god! Holy shit, wait a minute.
We have not been taking advantage enough.
That could have been dropped. Oh god. Alright, what's your favorite one that you haven't used in a while?
Okay. I will say, based on how wonderful and fun this episode was, I think this is the most apt one that we haven't used in a bit.
Yeah, that's a fun one. That's a fun one.
And that's how I feel after having this great time with you guys. Oh my god. Hey,
amazing time.
What a segue. I love it.
That was great.
Thank you. Must a seg. Oh, so, man. Devin, where can people find you? And do you have anything coming up that people should look out for?
Yeah. First off, I had a great time, y'all. This is really cool. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yes. Of course.
And if you guys want to hang out, just send me a text and...
Oh.
listen, I'm at Gant Dev on all the socials. My sketch team, Young Douglas, at Young Douglas Comedy. We're taking a little break for the summer, but we'll be putting on a show last week in September, the fourth Saturday of every month. My band, Skeeter DeMilo, we're about to go on tour in August in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Philly, and ending in Brooklyn. Follow us at Skeeter DeMilo.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm around, you know, I'm in Brooklyn. come say what up. I won't tell you guys what to do with your life, just, you know, hit me up.
Just go to Brooklyn, walk around, you might see Devin. Oh my gosh. And Michael, where can people find us?
All over the place. Instagram, Twitter, Threads, everywhere on our name is Everyone is Hot Pod. That's Every Number One is Hot Pod. And show us love wherever you're listening to us. If you can rate us 5 stars, rate us 5 stars. Because anything less will get you a boot in your ass. Okay?
Yeah, we'll fucking kill you.
Don't fucking string us along like that. You know?
How dare you? Preemptively. How dare you?
I love that
I
we are berating
off
people.
By saying, how dare you?
Yeah. We are berating our listeners at the end of every episode on their commute to work.
So mean. Yeah. It's so mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're negging. It works.
We want them to come back. We want them to come back, bro.
I've read the books. Oh, my gosh. Lord. Well, we are about to turn our ACs back on. Michael, what should the listeners do until our next episode?
Please remember to stay horny.
Horny.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.